I want to read this passage from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, what was the king's edict? If you go to the book of Exodus, now it takes faith. There's a lot of places in life where it takes faith. Trust. The word faith is trust. By trust. They trusted in something. They trusted in something. I don't know that they all knew who God was. I think a lot of the Israelites in captivity and the slavery, they lost a lot, but they still had faith. They believed something was good here about this baby. Let me read you Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. The Hebrew midwives, these are the women who helped come to the mother, the delivery. Now listen to this statement in Exodus 1, verse 15. One of the midwives was named Shiphrah, and the other was named Puah, P-U-A-H. Shiphrah and Puah. Their names, midwives. Wait, would you like to have your name in the Bible? I mean, here are two midwives whose names are in the Bible. Two of them. Now, there were a number of midwives. So the king comes in, he calls in these Hebrew midwives, and he says to them, among them were Shiphrah and Puah, and he said to them, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and you see them on the birth stool, they had kind of like a, it looks like a toilet, but it's cut out so that the baby could deliver. The woman could sit there, pull up her legs, and deliver the baby, and the midwife helped them and was there to catch the baby or turn the baby if it was a breech. So he says to these midwives, if it's a son, he's telling, it's an order from the king, from Pharaoh, if it's a son, then you shall put him to death. How much work does it take to kill a little baby? Their heads are soft. Babies could, you could drop him, you could bang his head, you could do this, I mean, anything, and he would die. But if it's a daughter, you shall let her live, you know, she shall live. So this is what the Hebrew midwives were told this. This is what I want you to do. When Stephen was giving his talk in Acts chapter 7, he recounts this time. He tells about this. He says, there arose another king over Egypt. They didn't know Joseph. This is in Acts 7, dropping down now to verse 19. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race. I'm reading this from the New American Standard Version. He took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. Stephen is telling you what the consequences of that statement was. What the king of Egypt's plan was. Kill all the men, all the boy babies that are born to the Hebrews. Kill them. Well, if you have no more boy babies and you just have girl babies, and the girls are going to end up marrying Egyptian men, they want a man, and the Egyptians will take them over, and little by little you'll have the disappearance of the Hebrews. They will disappear. The Israelites would disappear. The sons of Jacob would disappear. That was the thought. That was the idea. Verse 20 of Acts chapter 7. It was at this time that Moses was born. Moses was born during that edict. Aaron was born before that. So Aaron was going to grow up. He was going to be a man. He would grow up. Miriam was born before that edict. Of course, she was a girl. It wouldn't matter if she was born after the edict. But they were older than Moses. Moses was evidently the, was obviously the youngest of the three children that his father and mother had. It was at this time, says Stephen. Stephen is addressing the Jews there. He was giving the history of Israel. It was at this time that Moses was born. He was a lovely child in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's house. And after he had been set aside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away. Now, he jumps way into the process here of who Moses was and the things that happened. Well, let's go back now to what happened to Moses, okay? Let's go back to what happened to the midwives, okay? Here we go. We're going to take Exodus chapter 1 again and dropping down to verse 17. You wonder why the midwives' names are mentioned? Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, it says their names, two of them were Shifra and Puah. They must have been very busy, very dedicated, and they may have been leaders among the midwives. But notice verse 17. But the midwives feared God. It says they feared God. And they did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but they let the boys live. Now, these are the Hebrew midwives. They evidently knew what the plan was, to wipe out Israelites, and they wouldn't do it. So verse 18, so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing? He found out, you know, some of the boys are living. I mean, I've seen these mothers with their little boys after I've given the edict. You were supposed to kill them at birth. Well, how come? And they said, they made up a story, actually. Why have you done this thing? You let the boys live. He was going to get mad at them. The midwife said to Pharaoh, well, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're so vigorous. They're so animated that they just give birth before the midwife can get there. I mean, we can't just grab the baby. They'll fight us, you know, if they've already given birth to the baby before we get there. That was a lie, by the way. They're so vigorous that they give birth before the midwife can get there. So notice verse 20, the very next verse. So God was good to the midwives. They lied to Pharaoh, but God was good to the midwives. And the people multiplied and became very mighty because the midwives feared God. He established households for them. He established their lineage, their household for them, and two of whom we know by name because the Bible mentions them. I know a lot of people would say, oh, and I know commentaries, oh, the midwives committed a terrible evil by lying to Pharaoh, but God forgave them because they did save some babies. Their lie was a righteous statement. Their lie was a righteous thing to do to save the people of Israel. Now let's take a look at Moses' birth. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Now, if you look down to Exodus, this is Exodus 2, verse 2. Let's look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. It's telling us about Moses. It says, and Amram took him Josephed, his father's sister's wife. Now, that would imply that she was his aunt. Amram took Josephed, his father's sister's wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 130 and 7 years. 137 years he lived. That's Moses' father, lived 137 years. He took Joseph in. Joseph in was the name of Moses' mother. Now, by the way, there are a lot of discrepancies, and a lot of people say that that was not, that the word for father's sister or a father's relative could be a cousin. It could be a cousin. And many say that, that it was a cousin. He married his relative. The Vulgate, the Septuagint also talk about those of the household as a cousin. The best critics suppose that Jochebed was the cousin of Amram, not his aunt. Okay, cousin. In those days, there were no, by the way, even if she were his aunt, there were no laws. That was before Moses received the laws about closeness. And by the way, the Samaritan and the Septuagint, the Samaritan texts, you know, the Samaritans have a Hebrew text. They do. And the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of Hebrew texts from back in Egypt, and the Syriac texts, and one of the Hebrew manuscripts add to this verse, Miriam, their sister. Okay, so the best critics then suppose that these words were in the original. So she had given birth. What did she do? She gave birth to Moses and Aaron, and they would add, and Miriam, his sister. So Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was probably the oldest, and Aaron and Moses second. Now let's come back to Exodus chapter 2. So Moses' mother gives birth, and in verse 2, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, when she saw that he was a fine child, he was good looking, she hid him for 3 months. They're after him. I've given him birth, and they want to kill him. You know, they want to destroy all the boy babies in Egypt. That's the law. I'm going to hide him out. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket and coated it. I'm reading this from the New International Version. She placed the child in this little papyrus basket. She coated it with tar and pitch so it wouldn't leak and, you know, sink. She made sure it was waterproof. And she took the baby and placed this child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Listen to verse 4. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Now, this is Miriam, Moses' sister, stood at a distance. Now, the mother gives this, she has this baby. She looks at this baby, it's just a beautiful baby. I'm not going to let anybody hurt this baby. I've already got Aaron. He was born before the edict. Miriam, of course, we didn't have to worry about. She was already a girl, but she was also born before the edict of the Pharaoh. But now Moses, this little baby's too, and they want to kill these babies. And I'm not going to. So she hid it. But when she could not hide it any longer, the crying was bigger. You know, the 3-month baby is, and you know, it's growing. And but she was still nursing it, but she couldn't hide it any longer. She's maybe. Troops were coming around. Maybe they were investigating. She decided, I better get rid of it. I got to do something. So she placed it along the banks of the Nile. His sister went along to see what would happen. Now, you know, let's say that Miriam was about anywhere from 8 to 12. And she looked at her little brother, baby brother. She wanted to see what's going to happen to my baby brother in the banks of the Nile. So she goes and she hides and she's looking. She knows where the mother hid it, but other people don't. So she's kind of looking over everything. Then she sees verse 5. This is Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. They saw the basket. Hey, there's a basket among the reeds here. And so Pharaoh's daughter sent her slave girl to get it. Get what's that basket? She opened it up and she saw this baby. Now here, you open this up. She probably heard the sounds, but the baby was crying. She saw this baby. And, oh, it's a beautiful little baby. It's completely formed. It must have been, you know, how babies' little hands are, their little chubby feet, their little legs. And it had been nursed, you know. And so I'm sure the baby was really healthy and very well and nicely, a nice fatty little baby, you know. Beautiful little baby. Huh? You know, it's just so appealing to women and men too. You know, you just see this baby, it's so appealing. And she opened it up and she saw another baby was crying, because now the baby's hungry. And she felt sorry for him. She had her bowels of compassion, as they would say. She felt sorry for him. She said, this is one of the Hebrew babies. This is a Hebrew baby. Here came the sister now. Here Miriam is watching. So she kind of runs down and she runs up to the Pharaoh's daughter. And she says, the baby's crying, shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? And she says, yeah, you go. So she went back, and of course, who did she get? She gets Moses' own mother. Pharaoh's daughter then says to Moses' mother, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. I'll pay you wages. You nurse him for me. You raise him for me. You keep him well for me. So Moses' mother took the baby. I mean, could there be any one more wonderful thing to happen to a mother? You think you're going to lose your baby. You put it out there. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to take it. You don't know whether they will find it and say, well, yeah, the edict is to kill it. But here she gets it back. And not only gets it back, I'm going to pay you to nurse this baby for me. This is going to be my baby, but I want you to nurse him. She didn't argue. She took him. Yes, she said. You know, go. So she took the baby. And when the take this baby and nurse him for me, I'll pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Now, between verse 9 where it says she took the baby and nursed him, and verse 10, when the child grew older. What do you think she did? She nursed him. She cared for him. Aaron was there for him. Miriam was there for him. Here was little Moses growing up. And she was teaching him. She was teaching him. She was showing him. As he grew up, she took him back. Okay, she takes him back. She took him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. She named him. I'm sure she kept, if she needed a babysitter, she had to have him, oh, go here, go to your family, go to your... She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. The word Moses comes from a Hebrew word, or some root, meaning to draw out, to bring him out, draw him out. Because she said, I drew him out of the water, so she gave him this name. Now, the Bible skips a lot of the details. One day after Moses had grown up, Now, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen comes back to say, and after he had been sent outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and nurtured him as her own child. Well, actually, she took him. He was educated. I mean, she loved him and she wanted to take care of him, but she didn't really do the nurturing. Guess who did the nurturing for this child? His own mother. His own mother taught him that he was a Hebrew. His own mother taught him that these were your people. His own mother told him this. But he was educated in all the areas of the Egyptians. Yes, it says he was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power and words and deeds. And when he was approaching 40, Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, when he was approaching 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Exodus chapter 2, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He knew his own people. How did he know his own people? How did he know who he was? How did he know the faith that his mother had to have in order to hide him and to take care of him? How did he know all that? He got that from his mother. got that from Mama, his mother. His mother had nurtured him and let him know. He saw an Egyptian. This is now in Acts chapter, not Acts, but in Exodus chapter 2, in verse 11. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And the next day when he went out, he saw the Hebrews fighting. He asked one of them, he asked the one that was in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler over us?" Now, Stephen gives you this same account very, very, from memory. Stephen is, he's not reading this from the Bible. He's memorized this whole story. And here's what he says in the book of Acts chapter 7. When he approached the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them treating the other one unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance on the oppressed, striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. He supposed that they would know, but they didn't. On the following day, he appeared to them and said, "Why are you fighting? And he tried to reconcile them. "Men, you are brethren. Why are you injure one another?" And the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him aside and said, "Who made you the ruler or judge over us? You're going to try to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday, are you? Do you want to kill us?" And when that remark came, Moses realized that he couldn't hide the fact that he'd killed this Egyptian. And so in the book of Exodus, it says, glancing this way and that, then the man said, "Who made you ruler over us? Are you thinking of killing us like you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid. He said, "What I've done has evidently become known. Everybody knows about what I've done. And they're going to now find out." And of course, Pharaoh heard about it. Verse 15 of Exodus 2. He tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And he, rescued the animals for the daughters of the Midian and some of the shepherds and drove them away, tried to, save their flocks for them. Now Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered the flock. So here was Moses rearing. He knew who he was, and he knew who he was from his mother. He was raised with kindness and care, but he was very smart, very educated guy, very smart guy. He was educated. He was Pharaoh's daughter, known to be Pharaoh's daughter, known to be Pharaoh's son, but they knew he was a Hebrew. She knew he was Hebrew. But more importantly, he knew he was Hebrew. He knew who his people were. In the book of Hebrews, we read this. It's a beautiful passage in the book of Hebrews. By faith, this is Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That mother who nursed him, that mother who took care of him, those siblings, Aaron and Miriam, and his father, Amram, his mother, Josephed, most people don't even know her name. I would say if you walked out and said, who was Moses' mother? What was her name? Most people couldn't tell you. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He could have stayed there. He could have just said, you know what? All I want is the life, the lush life. I want a lush life of ease. I'm Pharaoh's grandson. Pharaoh will look at me like a grandson. I'm Pharaoh's daughter's son. And I've got wonderful inn with the royal family. I live in splendor. I can have everything I want. Let these Hebrews just sweat it out. Mortar and brick and making it, and let the lashes of the Egyptians beat them up and all that. When he saw that Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, he went out and killed him. It says here, by faith, when I'm reading now again Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How many people would do that? You know, most people are just, I'm for me. I don't care about you. I don't care about them. I don't care. I just care about me. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with God's people than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ. Now that says Christ, Christos, the Messiah. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know, think of what Jesus did. Jesus was with the Father in heaven. Jesus had everything. And he divested it. He would rather take up and walk this earth with us lowly human beings, subject to the slavery of sin, than to just be, you know, living to keep his splendor, the glory. He had to give up his glory. Well, he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches. I'll take the reproach that Christ had. You know, every one of us takes the reproach that Christ had, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He saw, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he was destroyed by the firstborn. He who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. All those things took faith. It took trust, and you had to believe. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through on dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, all that took. So Moses, where did Moses learn this faith? The Bible started to say that when Moses was born in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when Moses was born by faith, when he was born, was hidden. Who had that faith? That was his mother. That was his father. They had trust. They had belief. They had faith in God. They were around the midwives. The midwives feared God. They would lie to Pharaoh, but they want to save Israel, save God's people, save the genealogy that came all the way down to Jesus Christ, save Joseph's genealogy, save Judah's genealogy, save all that were given the birthright and the scepter promises. Yes, I'll tell you, that's a mother's reward. Could a mother be ever so grateful? Yeah. Could Moses' mother live to see him stand in front of the Pharaoh and see him say, "Let my people go"? Was she there? Did she live? Did his father live to see him and never regret one day of all her teachings and all the truth she gave him and all the nurturing and care? You know, there's a beautiful passage here. Timothy, one of the great ministers of the New Testament, great evangelist, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, here's what Paul writes to Timothy, verse 5. "For I am mindful," this is 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, "for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." There was a faith inside Timothy, "which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." So Lois had it. Her nurturing and care gave it to Eunice. Eunice, the mother of Timothy, her nurturing and care gave it to Timothy, and I am sure it is in you as well. He says, "I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you." I'm sure it's in you. It was in your grandmother Lois. It was in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you. Let me read that in the King James Version. King James Version said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," that is sincere, unpretended, "that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you as well, in you also." Here was the mother of a man. The mother of a man. You know, Moses' mother focused on just one task. She didn't have a lot of things. She focused on one task: properly rearing and training her son, and reminding him that we believe in one true God. We believe in the true God, not all the gods of Egypt, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And evidently, Moses never forgot that. And one day, the little boy who had been carried about in the arms of his slave mother, "I'll pay you to nurse him," became a very big, broad-shouldered man. And he had a big, broad-shouldered faith. And he trusted in that big, broad-shouldered God. And in the strength of that faith, and in the might of that God, Moses was an instrument to lift an enslaved people. I don't know if you remember some of the phrases that Moses used. How long I have to pick this people up? How long do I have to bear this people? How long do I have to bear, like I'm bearing this these people as a child? He bore them through the wilderness. He put up with them. He had to scold them. He had to talk to them. He had to cajole them. He had to correct them. He had to instruct them. I mean, it was 40 years of that in the wilderness. Yes. And in the strength of that faith, he took this enslaved people sort of in his arms and carried them all the way across that wilderness, trying to carry them to the promised land. But he himself was not allowed to go in. He was not allowed. He made some severe mistakes. Moses, like all of us, not perfect. Moses, like all of us, human frailties, we all have it. Everybody does. But Moses, without Moses, I want to go back to, without those midwives whose names are in the Bible, without their cooperation and fear of God, without their saying, "We fear God, we're not going to follow this king's, the Pharaoh's edict, we're not going to do it. The king of Egypt is not going to tell us and make us kill these babies, these boy babies." If it weren't for his mother, if it weren't for her nurturing, if it weren't for these midwives, if it weren't for Moses, now maybe God would have used another instrument. Possible, very true. But as the history we have, if it weren't for Moses, we would not have a King David. We would not have an Isaiah. We would not have a Jeremiah. We would not have the lineage that led down to Joseph and Mary. We would not have that lineage from Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, you know, we know that he was the Word and he became flesh, but this is the human element here. We wouldn't have these people. We wouldn't have what we have. No wonder those midwives are in the Bible. No wonder Jocheved, Moses' mother, you don't know her name. Most people didn't know her name. You probably didn't know her name before today. Her name is not well known. It's not down in the annals of history, of the world history. You won't see it much. But here's a name that I'm sure is known well to God in heaven. And I'm sure she will have a rich reward, both in the future. But also she had a reward in this life. She will have a reward knowing that she mothered a man. She mothered a man who in turn fathered a nation, and through Moses, the genealogy of David, and Jesus Christ, they blessed the world. So when you look at mothers, a mother can have a lot of joy, and I am sure that Moses' mother, Miriam, Aaron, every time he would come home and be nursed by his mother and taught and played at their little house, reminding him that he was a Hebrew, and yet sent off finally, Pharaoh's daughter said, well, I want him to go to school here. I want him to go to Hebrew. Can he come visit us now and then? I'm sure there were times. I'm sure he never forgot. So motherhood is very important. What you get from your mother, the faith that she has, it hurts me very much to think of people, cruel mothers, who treat their babies. I can't imagine a mother just giving birth and dropping a baby in a garbage can, but we have mothers who are crueler than jackals. A good mother, if you've had one, give thanks.